Page 804. I want to welcome our new guest. I'm sorry, you have to remind me of your name.
My name is Erica Ravinsky.
Erica Ravinsky, welcome. Okay, everyone should say hello and and et cetera. Okay. We're studying Parshat Shelach, and we know about the Chet HaMeraglim. We know the story. So we studied the Chet HaMeraglim in past years. That rings a bell. We studied perhaps what the nature of the sin is, their inability, their lack of faith, their lack of dedication to God, their lack of dedication to Klal Yisrael, their own selfishness, many, many possible understandings of what the Meraglim did wrong. We know that they did something terribly wrong, and then they ultimately convinced the Jewish people that they would never succeed in entering the Holy Land of Promised Land. Right? They were successful at that. What I want to do today is study the response, to understand what happens after. Why are they punished the way they're punished? Why does God choose to punish them in that way? And how do we understand the specific language that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses? Okay. I guess nobody does like the fruit, you know? We'll go back to the cake. Okay.
Who said we don't like the fruit?
Yeah. Page 804, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Ad ana yina'atsuni ha'am hazeh. Va'ad ana lo ya'aminu bi. B'chol ha'osos asher asishi b'kirbo. Ad ana, how long will they yina'atsuni? Will they provoke me? But yina'atsuni is... Yeah, Rashi says, you're gizuni, anger me. But it's almost like reject me. How much longer are they going to do this? How long will it be that they don't believe in me? And what do I have to do to convince them that it's going to work? Now, just as an aside, what's different between this situation and every other situation that the Jewish people have found themselves in beforehand? Why does the nation of lack faith in this specific case?
Why did they lack faith as far as, why
did
they feel they needed to go?
Why did they believe the
Meraglim? They were honest people. They were head of the tribe.
Let me ask you this question. Do they have faith in God?
Yeah.
They do. Are they God-fearing people? These are the Jewish people in the Midbar.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
But still not enough to trust it.
So my question is, if they believe in God, then why don't they believe? What's different in this situation?
They sent the Meraglim anyway.
No. Well, the question was, we've discussed this in previous years. Mm-hmm. Why they sent the Meraglim? Who wanted to send the Meraglim? Fine. Irrespective of that, the Meraglim are sent. The Meraglim will come back. The Meraglim are good people. Let's assume that they're good people. They're the leaders. Mm-hmm. How come a week ago, Bitachon and Emuna, and you didn't question, and you know it was okay, everything was good. All of a sudden, this week, you lost your emunah. What's the difference? What is different in the Chet HaMeraglim? It's a very important question that needs to be addressed.
To be under
oh, why? What do you mean?
Because once they get into Eretz Yisrael, they were going to have to do things by themselves.
Not no mana.
No man, they're going to have to work
here.
They're going to have to
answer that for a long time. Correct. Again, it's not only just no man metaphorically as well. God says to them, desert is nice, but it ain't going to be like that forever. And you're going to have to fight on your own now. Whereas God fought for you in Egypt, now you're going to have to do it, and I will help you. So in a sense, it's not that they didn't believe in God as much as they didn't believe in themselves and what God told them he would help them. Now, there's a big difference between having faith in a parent's going to do for you, and then the first time the parent says, I want you to go on your own and you can do it and I'll be there to catch you. There's still that fear, intimidation. I don't know if I can do it. I just finished reading a book about the Yom Kippur War. Very, very interesting book. It's a new book about the Yom Kippur War. And it's so interesting how attitude changes the whole shape of war. So one of the big questions that arose was, how could Israel be caught so unprepared for the Yom Kippur War? You there then?
No.
You weren't there.
Gary was there in B'nai Akiva Yeshiva.
Yeah.
Akiva that year.
Right.
It was the end of the school. Because they were right near the airbase where the planes came from underground.
Really?
They loved it. Those boys had a great time.
What did they do?
They sent them to Jerusalem.
To do what?
They worked. One of them drove the garbage trucks.
Right.
The place because all of
all the men were gone.
They were all in the Army.
Right.
Actually, they stayed with our friend Chaim Doman.
That's an amazing thing.
He's the one that wrote the book.
Yes.
And Gary did.
They shut down the yeshiva. Now,
the teachers.
The question is, what happened? How are they so unprepared? And the answer was mentality. In the 67 war.
They might believe that it would happen.
In the 67 war, the Arabs turned and fled at the site of war. They turned and ran. So if you have that as an assumption, that the enemy is going to turn and run at the first sight of gunfire, then you don't need, how much do you need of the front line? Because they're not going to do it. But what changed when the whole mentality had changed? For some reason, the Arab mentality got stronger. And this is what the Jewish people are running up against. It isn't that we don't believe in God. Of course we believe in God. But he's telling us that we have to do it. So how are we going to succeed? Look at these enemies. How are we going to overcome? So now we live in a time where we have to do it on our own, and you have to find your bitachon, you have to find your faith in doing things for yourself. That's where the bitachon comes from. But you have to imagine that their time, they were living in a time where there was no such thing as bitachon in yourself. There was no such thing in doing it on your own and finding a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world. It was going to be a transformation. So that Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I need you to understand this transformation, and they can't handle it. And what we're going to see as this fleshes out in the rest of the story. Okay?
But the Meraglim also said, you
have to spare when a land will
eat you up.
Why? Because, again, because if it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's land and God says, you go there, it'll be great, you know, it'll grow by itself, I'll fight for you, then it wouldn't be Eretz Yisrael Yisrael. Because everything was going now, we'll take the clouds will protect us, we'll stay there, it'll be great. But that's not what God said. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu said, you're going to have to fight, go find the battles and battleground and good military places. Let's go on. So says God, I've had enough of them. Akenu Badever. Question you'd bet. Akenu Badever, let me plague them with Dever, with pestilence. Pestilence? Yeah, plague. V'orishenu. And I will destroy them. V'esheutcha l'goy gadol v'atzum mimenu. Tell you what, Moshe. Forget them. I'll take you. So now, here's your question. This is the second time Moshe Rabbeinu is up against this argument. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm tired of the Jewish people. And you have an opening to save them. What do you say? What would you say? I'm tired of them, I want you instead.
Can't have me without them.
Can't have me without them?
I'm not worth it.
I'm not worth it. Well, it's interesting. Maybe what I would have said is, how do you know my kids are going to be any better? Mm-hmm. There's no guarantees. Meaning, Abraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov's children didn't do so well. So most of Rebbeinu's children are going to do any better?
What could the
Goyim say? What were the Goyim saying? To sign up for the Goyim.
That's right.
That's right. Now look at what Moshe Rabbeinu. But why is the sign up for the Goyim so important?
Because we were supposed to be the best. Hashem doing everything.
Right. Let's see. Vayomer Moshe. Correct. Vayomer Moshe El Hashem. Now the first thing, if I was Moshe, what's the first thing I would say? I would say, you know, if somebody comes to you and says, somebody comes to you, Mrs. Hirsch, and says, you know, your son came and threw a brick through my window. And I can't believe you. You raised children this way. This is the third time this happened. What do you have to say for yourself? So what would you say? Boat. What?
My son broke a window for my next door neighbor time and time again, and I paid for it every time.
And what did you say?
Apologize.
First thing you say is?
I'm sorry. Terribly sorry, but he's a very good ball player.
He's a very good ball player. What does Moshe Rabbeinu not say first?
I don't think he said he's a good ball player.
Well, Vayomer Moshe El Hashem. So he doesn't say I'm sorry, which is interesting. Now, why does he not say I'm sorry? What? Why does he not say I'm sorry? No, close.
He doesn't feel responsible for it.
Because they're not sorry. Yeah.
But he's their leader. He can apologize for.
They have yet to repent. Well, they don't know what the ramifications are. They're not thinking very clearly, you know, about consequences.
But.
Yes. Right. So they don't want Moshe.
They want to go back.
Correct. So he didn't say, I'm sorry, because they're not sorry. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. So you know what God would say? You might be sorry, but they're not sorry. They're sitting crying in their tents. They don't want to go back to Egypt. Yomer Moshe El Hashem. Bishabu Mitzrayim, the goyim will hear. Ki halita b'chochacha et ha'am hazeh mikirba. Ah, you are strong enough to take this nation from its midst. V'amru el yoshev ha'aretz hazot. And they will say to the people dwelling in the land of Israel, Shamu ki ata Hashem b'kerev ha'am hazeh. Did you hear? Yeah, you are Shamu. They heard that you are God in the midst of this nation. Asher ayin va'ayin nirah, Ata Hashem. You were seen by their eyes. They saw you. Ve'anancha omed aleihem, and your cloud was standing above them. Uve'amud anan ata holech lifnehem yomam uve'amud esh laila. You are a very impressive God, right? The pillars and the clouds and the protection and everything. Ve'himata et ha'am hazeh ki'ish echad. You were so powerful. You had the ability, and you know what you did? He wiped them all out. V'amru ha'goyim asher shamu et shim'acha lemor. And what are they going to say? These nations that heard how great you are will say, "Bivilti yecholet Hashem lahavi et ha'am hazeh el ha'aretz asher nishba lahem v'yishchatem b'midbar." God couldn't do it. Couldn't get the job done. Oh, the great and mighty and all-powerful God wasn't the great and mighty and all-powerful. Why? What was God's inability? There's two ways of understanding Moshe's argument. What's Moshe saying to God? Anyone?
No.
What's Moshe saying? God, you couldn't do it. They're going to say you couldn't do it. Now the simple understanding is they're going to say, God, you weren't powerful enough. Meaning that the God, you know, fine, against the Egyptian gods, so we had bad gods. Oh, but you go to Canaan and go to those gods, they've got the really good gods, you couldn't do it. But there's another deeper message also. The Jewish people created a new world order. They changed everything. Before the world was, you need light, you go to the God of the light. You need rain, you go to the God of the rain. You need the Nile, God of the Nile. The model of polytheism. Along come the Jewish people and say, you got it all wrong. This whole idol worship thing is a total mistake. If you want spirituality, you're going to have to reach beyond the world of the physical that you can see in the here and now. That was the message, right? That was the message of Har Sinai. That was the message of the Jewish people. The whole nation heard, right? Why is it, you know, the Torah says that it says by Yishma Yisrael Chose Moshe that Yisrael heard. Mas Nua Sama Uba, says Rashi, what did he hear? Maimon Har Sinai, the giving of the Torah. All the nations of the world says, and they have heard about the Har Sinai, heard about God.
What God did for the Jewish people, right?
Correct. So all of a sudden, this great message of monotheism. You're going to create the sea change. You created the world in order so that the Jewish people can bring your name. If you destroy them now, you will ultimately not be hurting them. Who will you be hurting?
Because nobody will have any of them anymore.
Correct. Correct. Now, it does raise an interesting question. Why does God allow things to happen that subvert people's ability to believe in him.
Free choice. Why?
Well, the answer is free choice. But here, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, you can't do it. Because if you do it, if you destroy them, you might want to pick up with me, but it'll be impossible. You have destroyed what Klal Yisrael is all about, what the Jewish people is all about.
Isn't that similar to what happened at the Holocaust, where so many people went away from Hashem?
What's the difference?
They lost their faith.
Difference between, well, subtle difference, I would say, is in one case, Moshe is arguing in the Holocaust, at least you have somebody evil. Here, God is saying, I'm going to do it myself. Mm-hmm. So it's not that.
How many people actually spoke to God besides Moshe?
I don't understand.
In our Torah, how many people actually had a conversation?
How many prophets were there? Like 30 or 40 or something?
Every one of them, I know, small. But did every one of them actually have a conversation with God like Moshe?
No. The Torah says only Moshe spoke to God face to face.
Only Moshe.
Everybody else did it in vision.
Yes, okay. So this is the only one. This is a very important thing.
He was the only one who had a direct line.
Nobody else could speak to God this way.
I mean, it's,
nobody else could.
Right. So you have to bear that in mind when you're thinking about it.
And therefore what?
And he was pretty, and we know that he was a very humble man.
Right.
For him to speak to God like that, in that way, took a lot of guts.
Well, that's the question. Don't you think God knew it anyway? Meaning? Like, this is the problem with arguing with God. He already thought about it.
He knows what you're going to say.
Right, so what is here he knows what he's going to say, so...
And he knows what they're talking about.
Right, what's Moshe accomplishing?
He expected Moshe to say that.
What?
He expected...
Well, he wanted Moshe to say that.
Right.
That's an interesting question. So, okay, so you can't. If the whole point of creating a Jewish people and separating them out is in order to bring about your name, so you have two choices. I get the sense of Moshe saying. You can either let them be, grin and bear it, you made a choice, now you're stuck with it. Just like we made a choice with you, we're stuck with you, you made a choice with us, you're stuck with us. There's a truth to that. There's a great truth to that. That the fate of the world, I mean, the Midrash says this all the time, the fate of the world is dependent upon the existence of the Jewish people.
Yes.
Because God chose us. Because God chose us. So, in a sense, we're blessed with the fact that he stuck with us, for better or for worse.
If we're a failure, he's a failure.
In a sense.
Yeah.
Which is kind of frightening.
Yeah. Well, isn't that what you were just kind of saying? That if Hashem is going to wipe out everybody, what are the blame going to think?
Mm-hmm.
That I'm a failure, that Hashem is a failure.
I would also argue, but perhaps what Moshe is also referring to is, when he says, "Mibilti yachol Hashem lahaviyat ta'am hazeh," what good is a religion that's so difficult that nobody can live up to it?
It's a very good question.
Meaning, God created a new world order, but it's how can you create a religion that's so stringent and so difficult that the people can't live up to it, and you have to destroy them?
That's why they're saying
they're shreds of anti-Jews. Yeah. That's anti-Semitism for
you. No, we say it too.
But he did wipe them off, though.
But it's not impossible.
It's not impossible, but there are difficulties.
They're
all generations
there.
So therefore, Moshe is saying to God, maybe. Perhaps it was two maybes. If you're going to make a religion that's as imposing and as demanding on the people, that they have to have this kind of faith, you're going to have to also allow for them to slip up as well.
Make some allowances.
Well, he says you're slow to anger and...
Well, he's going to say all that.
Yeah.
Meaning...
That's his
meaning
way.
I think that Moshe Rabbeinu is arguing on two levels. Yes, Rashi says, first level is the simplistic, straightforward level. They're going to say you couldn't do it. We live in a world where people don't believe in an all-powerful God. And all this will do will justify that belief. But at the same time, they're also going to say, you couldn't do it theologically. You were unable to create a religion where people could worship you and succeed. could worship you and succeed. It's a religion that's doomed to failure. And we hear this all the time today.
Was the Chayim HaRabim considered the worst sin the Jews did?
I think so. Well, there's a toss-up, which is worse, Chayim HaEgel or Chayim HaRabim? I would argue, it's interesting.
He wanted to destroy them.
Oh yeah, he did. He did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So which is worse?
No.
It's a toss-up, like you said.
Well, I think this one's worse because now they know they were given from Har Sinai, they were given the Torah, they were given understanding. Before then, they were just waiting. It hadn't occurred yet, so you could kind of excuse, well, they just came out of the desert. They just came out of slavery. Now they're a little more enlightened. How you were given all these, you've seen wonders, you were given the Torah in Sinai. How could you...
How do you know which one is worse? You're right. I agree with you, which one is worse. How do you know?
Well, they're
coming. Yeah, right. God's reaction. What happens after the first one? God says, you know what? Okay.
I'll forgive you. Give me another chance.
And this time, we're going to see what happens. Again, though, people struggle with this all the time. People believe that Judaism, at least the way we practice it, many, many Jews believe, yeah, it's the right thing to do, but it's too hard.
Mm-hmm. Right. But you can't expect nothing.
I can't do it. It's too much.
No, in simplistic terms, that's exactly what they say. Yeah. I'll just take a few of the things. Right. That's all I can handle.
What?
That's why there's a reform.
I wouldn't even oversimplify to that degree. It used to be that way.
But
you know, and so our job, like Moses, is to teach. And, you know, in a sense. In a sense, what Moshe Rabbeinu has said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're absolutely right. In the realm of the divine, they're sinful and they're deserving destruction. But Judaism, Yiddishkeit, is also a human religion. It's of this earth. You know, interestingly, Chazal have a ma'amar, they have a statement. They say, Ein adam asher ba'aretz asher lo yechta. Is that a pasuk or it's a ma'amar Chazal? There's no person that ever lived that didn't sin. Did not sin. Now we know, we all sin. It doesn't make any sense. Can you imagine if I made a country, I built a country, right? The United States is spaulding. Okay? And I made the laws such that it was impossible that a person could be a law-abiding citizen.
And then you punish them for not
being... And then I punish them for not being a law-abiding citizen.
You'd have an awful lot of big jails.
Awful lot of prison. And because everybody would have to be in prison at one time. Yeah. So then think about Yiddishkeit in that way. So because Baruch Hu builds a system in which we all have a Yetzirah, we have a negative inclination that's pulling us to, you know, go against it. And the Chazal acknowledge it's impossible for us to overcome. It's impossible to vanquish. Impossible. That's the way it's built in. No, if you're going to build that in, then you have to have another mechanism too. What's that mechanism? Tshuva. Because without it, the whole thing over, you know, blows up. Bidulti yicholet Hashem lehavi ha'am el ha'aret asher nishba leh. He could not bring them to the promised land. Sometimes the sin is small, sometimes the sin is big, but if you're going to build the system being so demanding of people and requiring them to have such faith on a national scale and on a personal scale, you're going to also have to allow for them to slip up too. Because without which, you're never going to get them there. You know, you have to be able to move forward, slip up. Move forward, slip up. It's a process. They're not malachim. And if you relate to them like malachim and destroy them and start again, it's not going to be any different next time. And maybe that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does Moshe have to say to God? The only thing that Moshe can add to the discussion is something that God can't add. What can't God add? In the human perspective. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't human. What?
I'm having a hard time understanding.
Why?
I don't know. I don't think that he put it into so many words that we want to understand and come close to this. He gives it a much larger overview and without the little details. No?
you have brought us out. The people believe that you are almighty, and you have to prove that you are.
You know, if I would have said that, if that's all Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, then my response as God would be, how many times do I have to, that's exactly what that says, how many times do I have to prove that I'm almighty? What, Yetzias Mitzrayim wasn't enough? Yam Suf wasn't enough? Har Sinai and Mount Sinai wasn't enough? How many more times can I do it? So you just made my point very well, Mrs. Roper. You just made my point very well. You ended up agreeing with me. Do you understand?
Yeah, so I have no ambition to contribute.
No. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's exactly what God says, what Moshe says. Because Baruch Hu says, how many times? And you know what Moshe Rabbeinu says? As many times as need be. As many times as it takes. Why? Because that's what people are like. Oh, but they shall act like little children. That's it. You're the father. The Atah, interesting. Yud Zayin. Yigdal na koach Hashem. Aleph Dalid Nun Yud. I'm a pasuk Yud Zayin on page 806. Yigdal na koach Hashem. Please make great the koach of Aleph Dalid Nun Yud. What is it in Adon? A master. Right. Aleph Dalid Nun Yud. Sarah, I wanted to share with you a lot of Rabbeinu Bachaye. Aleph Dalid Nun Yud, Adnut, refers to Midat HaRachamim. Right? When we say Hashem, Hashem, Yud Hey, Vav Hey, right? Aleph Dalid Nun Yud. It refers to the Midat HaRachamim, God's compassion. You're the master? Sometimes you have to show compassion. And I like the way Moshe Rabbeinu, I like it. It's so powerful the way Moshe Rabbeinu says it. He says, the greatness of you as a God isn't that you're all powerful. Mainly, we take that for granted. Right? That's a given. What makes a God, Yigdal Na Koach, what makes the Koach of God, what makes power so awesome, is when you choose not to use it. When you choose to forgive. Now, in a sense, God, the easiest thing for you to do would be to destroy them. One fell swoop. But the more powerful thing is not to use it. Because it shows an even greater level. No, it's interesting. I just, as an aside, is anybody here following what's going on in Israel with the National Religious Party?
What's happening?
No? Nobody's following?
What's happening
today? So Ariel Sharon, he wants to give back some of the settlements. He wants to evacuate some of the settlements. Okay? You can agree with him or disagree with him. The Maftal, the National Religious Party, is very much in favor of the settlers, but they're split about the issue. Two of them want to back out of the government, want to get out of the coalition, because they say this is what we're all about. If we stay in the government now, and two of them say no, we should stay in, because at least we'll have a voice at the table. Mm-hmm. I hear both sides. The problem with leaving, the problem with quitting something, is that you only get to do it once.
Then you have no
sense. That's right. Oh, if you do this, I'm going to quit the show. I'm going to quit the group. I'm never going to come again. I'm going to, you know.
So who are you hurting?
What's happening today? Did they quit?
I don't know. Yeah, in Israel, everything takes time.
Didn't say one of them was hiding?
What?
One of them was hiding because he didn't want to be told that
he... That was funny.
Mm-hmm.
So, only in Israel could you do this. Can you imagine? The President of the United States that needs a majority in order to win a certain, a certain agenda. So he fired two of his cabinet, so that instead of losing 12-11, he's now winning 11-10. How that works, I have no idea. But okay, I got a majority. I'm losing, 22-1. All right, you're all 22 fired? One to nothing. I mean,
so what's happening in Israel?
No, nothing. I mean, all I'm saying to you is, Moshe Rabbeinu says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sure, you could destroy them all. But you only get to do it once. And then what? You know, so people who are like that, I often, you know, and there are, we all know people like that. I can't stand the way you ladies make sandwiches. I'm not coming to this group again. And then what do you know? The same person, lo and behold, next week. There they are. Right? Why? Because you can only quit once. And if you keep using the threat, doesn't... Right? And then you start thinking, you know, every time that person quit the group, five cents, I'd be a wealthy person. So now Moshe Rabbeinu says, now it's time to ask for forgiveness. Once I've given that whole hakdama, once I've explained to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why you have to forgive them, why it's essential for to forgive them, I think, Mrs. Robley, the more I think about it, the more it appeals to me that Moshe Rabbeinu was arguing on a theological level. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be open. You know, we talk about raising children also, especially young children.
But he gives them so many compliments.
Yeah, well, a second. We'll see which ones he gives and which ones he doesn't give. You know, raise children, so there are boundaries, there are limits. You don't want them to do too much. You don't want to give them too much freedom. But you don't want to hold the reins too tight. You know, and they're always testing you. So for us, for me, it's always a struggle to know, well, do I punish for this or do I let it go? Do I say something or do I not say something? You know what I'm saying? Because if it's too much, it's not going to have an effect. If it's not enough, it's also not going to have an effect.
But discretion is always the better part of valor.
Sometimes yes,
yes,
sometimes no.
Always. You'll see as your children grow up. They're little now.
Yeah, no, I know. Little
you'll
children.
See, 100%.
You'll see as the children grow up. What I said is true.
Hashem, God, Erech Apayim Rav Chesed, Nosei Avon Vapasha. Right? The Erech Apayim, the compassionate and kindness. Nosei Avon Vapasha, Venake Lo Yinake. Who cleanses but does not cleanse completely. Poked Avon Avos, who redeems the sins of fathers, avanim, on children, ashileshim ba'aribayim, on third and fourth generations. Slachna la'avon ha'am hazeh kegodol chasecha. Forgive this nation as is your great chesed. V'chasher nasasa la'am hazeh mimitzrayim v'yad hena. As you have, forgiven this people from Egypt until now. Man, you forgive them 10 times? Think you'll let it. Why not? When you see these psukim, why does Moshe Rabbeinu say what he said? How does he know what to say?
Because
how does Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a reason why Moshe Rabbeinu says exactly these words. Why does he say this? There's a very good reason.
These all seem to be parts of rachamim, of forgiveness, of compassion, of all his attributes.
From?
13.
The 13 attributes.
Good, I'm good. Very good. These are the 13 attributes. Except, sing the song in your head.
This is the original.
This is the original? No, it's not. Sing the song in your head. What? Hashem. How does it go? Hashem. Hashem. So what are you missing? Right? Kel Rachum Mechanim, missing. Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed. Oh, you're missing Emes. No, so Chesed La'alafim. No, so Avon Vapesha. V'chata'a v'nake, lo yinake. So, I need a note taker. This is Torgo. Let's write this down. What are we missing? Let's go again. What are we missing?
Hashem.
We're missing one Hashem.
Yeah.
Rachum b'chanun. Right? Compassionate. You want to see it? Let's see it. Hold on. It's in Tifisa. Give me a second. 1 second. Hold your place here. You should see it. Yeah, hold your place here. Turn to page 508. Why does Moshe use these words? Moshe uses these words because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told him, Moshe, if I ever get so mad that you don't know what to say, just repeat these words. Repeat after me. And if you wonder, on Yom Kippur, why do we say these words? We say them because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told us to. When there's nothing left to say, turn to God and say, forgive us because you told us you would. So now, because Baruch Hu, his mom is so angry at the Jewish people. They're rebelling. They don't deserve anything. Forget it. I've had enough. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, but I've got that card up my sleeve. And you know who gave it to me?
You did.
You did. It's interesting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always gives us the way out.
If you're listening, strong enough to say Salah.
Yeah, but it's interesting. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not leave himself the ability to destroy Klal Yisrael. You would think that the master would always have the upper hand. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a system in that, we always have a release. We always have that get out of jail free card. No matter how bad it is, you're going to get punished. Yeah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't have the right to destroy us. You know why? Because you gave it away. Why did he do that? Because he's great and compassionate and all that. So let's look again. Page 508. Hold your place. 508, Pasuk Vav. Vayavor Hashem Alpana Vayikra. Here we go. Hashem Hashem. So now we're missing a Hashem.
Hashem and Rachum.
And Rachum. Good. Erech Apayim Rav Chesed. And now what are we missing? The Emet. No Tzer Chesed. Emet is missing. No Tzer Chesed La'alafim. Missing that. Okay, Mr. Turga, you got that? No Tzer Chesed La'alafim?
What is it in English?
I don't know. Kindness to thousands.
Yes.
No say avon va pasha v'chata av v'narke.
This is one of the places where how many did you say the nun
along
the nun?
Oh, the big nun.
The big nun.
Yeah, not upside down nuns. These are regular nuns.
Yes.
Okay.
How many are there of these?
I don't know. You always notice these important things. I don't know. I'm not a scholar like that. That's a scholarship thing.
The only question was because I used to ask questions.
No, you should. You're absolutely correct. I mean, you want to know why? I don't remember. No tzeh chesed, nun, no tzeh chesed. Okay. Where are we? No tzeh abba v'pesha v'chata'a is missing. V'nakeh, lo yinakeh. So now, I'm going to share with you, you can turn back to 806. I'm going to share with you the words of the Rabbeinu Bechaya. Rabbeinu Bechaya is so powerful. So the obvious question when you read something like this is you have to ask yourself, what do you have to ask? No questions?
Why does
because Baruch Hu gave Moshe a get out of jail free card, so what does Moshe do? Here.
Because he's shaving part of his
in case he says no, Erech Abayim, Chesed Emes. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu do that? Says the name of Mechai the following. The da, no. Kimashi hiskir Hashem erech apayim. Why does it mention that Kadosh Baruch Hu is erech apayim? Below hiskir Hashem kel rachum mechanu. Doesn't say Hashem is kel rachum mechanu. Below hiskir the emet, doesn't mention emet. The notze chesed the alafim, skips the notze chesed. The gam lo hiskir the chata'a. Remember the word b'chata'ah is not in there? How come Moshe skipped all these things? It's like God gave him a certain language and Moshe just skipped them all. Lo asa b'mikre. This didn't happen, no happenstance. Ki'im b'hashkachad mura. Moshe Rabbeinu had divine inspiration.
Oh, right.
V'limdanu Moshe b'kan sidrei tfila u'bakasha. And Moshe taught us here how to daven. Erech yitpalel ha-mitpalel v'yitchanein ha-mitchanein k'dei sh'yitratzeh el Adonah. How to daven and ask for compassion in an appropriate way. V'alkein y'ashalosh ha-seh midot sh'yimtzuel v'shinai. And therefore, out of the 13 attributes that God gave him, lo hizkir mehem tan ki'im shisha. How many does Moshe mention? 6 out of the 13, and he skipped 7. He skipped 7 out of the 13. Lo hiskir Hashem el rachum mechanun. So why doesn't he say Hashem el rachum mechanun, compassionate and merciful? Ki heim midot lemisha rubu zechuyot. Right? Okay, Hashem Hashem rachum mechanun. What is chanina? Chanun means you find favor. But that's only if you have merit. That's only if you say, yeah, they sinned, but look at the good. They're so good.
But he only wants them not to get angry so fast.
But here, what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Yeah, they sinned, but at least they're not crying, you know, in their tents in the middle of the night over nothing. No, they are. So what good can he say? So you know what Moshe Rabbeinu says? Skip that one. V'lo yistir ve'emet. Oh, he doesn't mention that. He skipped the word emet. Why? Why does Moshe Rabbeinu skip emet? You know why? Because the truth hurts. God, do what's right and do what's true. You know what God would say?
Stop them out.
You know, it's interesting that we do a lot of things like that. So as not to arouse, like on Yom Kippur, you don't wear jewelry or whatever, you don't want to seem haughty. We do a lot of things so as not to arouse the kategor, like the prosecuting attorney. Mm-hmm. Now, we know things that are about us. We understand who we are. But at least on Yom Kippur, you don't have to flaunt it. You know, I know I have faults, but I'm not going to hold it in front of God on Yom Kippur. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Rabbeinu B'chaya, he couldn't say the emet. You know why? Because you can only stretch the truth so far. And if you would mention the truth, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say, you know, if you really want to go by emet, I have to do this.
How about compassion?
Rachum B'chanun?
Yeah.
So we say compassion implies compassion based on compassion, and chanina is favor.
Okay.
Right, based on something. Kemoshe Darshu Razal, as the rabbis say in the Midrash, Emet lo avi bifni mishuras hadin. If you say emes, you can't go above and beyond. Meaning, you say, God, I want you to do the extra. I want you to give in. I want you to just overlook it. So Kadosh Baruch Hu say, yeah, but then you can't do emes. When it's emes, it's emes. And if you're asking for extra, don't say emes. You know, at Harsina, Moshe Rabbeinu could say, they just did at Harsina. Okay, they messed up. But at least they said, Nasa v'nishma. So, you know, they're good people deep down. They believe. Here, what do you say?
There was no answer.
Here, what do you say? Here, what do you say? They're good people. They're sitting and crying. They believe. They don't believe.
They don't. That's good.
They're scared. They don't have faith. Oh, they just pressed about me 10 minutes ago. You know. So? Sometimes you have to say, you know what? Forget MS. Which Moshe does. Below his fear, no tzeh chesed la'alafim. No tzeh chesed means you do kindness to thousands of generations. Why? Because Moshe could not invoke zchus avos. Why not? Why could Moshe invoke the schus of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Why?
Because we're following the right way.
More, specifically. Why couldn't, now by the way, if you notice, you go back to Kitisha, he says, Zechor, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yisrael, Avadecha, at Hashina, Moshe does invoke Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but here he says he can't. Specifically, why not? Because the Avos wanted Eretz Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael, and they said, thank you. And they're going to have to work for it. Okay. And they're going to struggle. No problem. Just give us the land. We love this beautiful land. Now you're going to invoke Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Oh, what about Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov? You know what God would say? Yeah, you're right. At least they did want the land. Now leave them off the list too.
Okay.
That's why Moshe didn't say, remember Avin Yitzchak and Yaakov. What is chet? Chet implies sin by accident, b'shogeg. Why? Because they knew what they were doing. They did it on purpose. Shehu Hashem HaRishon Shehizkir Lo Hashem B'Shoshes Hamidos. Didn't say Hashem Hashem. Why? What is Hashem Hashem? Remember Hashem Hashem. Because Hashem Hashem is Hashem Kodem HaChet. and God after the chet. God before and God after. Meaning you're the God of our, you are our God before we sin, and you're our God after we sin. Meaning you're our God when we repent as well. But he couldn't say that because the Jews weren't doing tshuva. So, you know, it's like most Rabbeinu has to argue with both hands tied behind his back. Like, what can I say? Can I, avos? No. Forgiveness? No. Compassion? No. Can you imagine? Like, what do you say? So he's like picking and choosing. I can't say that, so I can only say Erech HaPayim. Yeah, it's about you guys. Rav Chesed, yeah, yeah. Nake, right? Yeah, right, good.
He's the lawyer.
Yeah, but it's unbelievable how he's like, you know, on the spot, picking and choosing. What can I say? What can't I say? You know, choosing words carefully, because one wrong word, and I say, MS, bam!
He's in court with the judge.
Yeah, but this is like in
judge and jury and
in the ultimate court, you know.
That's amazing.
This is a very good lesson.
Yeah, you have to be careful. But, you know, it's amazing to me as Moshe, like, under the pressure. You know, before, Kaddish Baruch Hu said, okay, Hashem, Hashem, so she says, okay, Hashem, Hashem, Kerachem, Hashanun, please forgive us, okay, deal. This time, though, you know, okay, Moshe, think on your feet, what do you have to say now? Hashem, Kerachem, Erech, Hathayim, Baruch Hashem,
Forget
the Amen. You know, you sing the song, you're like, oh,
oh dear.
No, it's a chesed. Oh, God. Take that one back. Back to the Torah. 806.
It's going to make a whole different meaning next time you have to say this. So,
now we get to the decree.
Vayom Hashem, Salachti Kidvarecha. Says God, you know what? Salachti Kidvarecha. Very important comment. How does Aristotle translate Salachti Kidvarecha? I have forgiven because of your words. Now tell me why that is an incorrect, at least imprecise translation.
Because they're actually Hashem words that Moshe spoke.
Translate the words literally. By Yom Hashem,
I have forgiven as you have said.
As you have said. What's the difference?
You'll have the same
times
against you. But
meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu can't ask for complete. He can't ask for everything. His hands are tied behind his back, right? So I can only ask for this one and not that one. And maybe yes, maybe no. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? You could only ask for half of forgiveness. Salachti kidvarecha. You got it. Because we're faced with a very fundamental problem. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Shalachti, so now what would you expect to happen?
Forget.
And?
Forget.
Shalachti. Shalachti. In the next passage we should say, Vayavo b'nei Yisrael, Vayelchu el Eretz Yisrael, skip the whole Dvarim, Yehoshua, Sefer Yehoshua. Conquer the land. But that doesn't happen. So what happens? So Ulam says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chai Ani, V'Yimalei Kvod Hashem Eskol Ha'aretz. You argued that I couldn't destroy them because of God's presence. Okay. Ki Kol Ha'anashim Arimim Kvodi Vet Ototah Asher Ashishi B'Nisayim V'Midbar. All these people that saw all the things that I did. V'Yerasu Oshi Zeh Esha Ta'amim V'Lo Shamu B'Koli. They tried my patience 10 times. In your U.S. Aritzashani Shabbati Lahavotam, Mechomena Atzai Lo Yeruha. They will never see, I swear, they will never see the land of Israel. Shalachti, what happened? Layom Hashem Shalachti Givarecha. What kind of forgiveness is that? How can you say you forgave and then you say, ah, I forgive you, but I'm going to kill you all? What? Anyone who witnessed the exodus from Egypt will die. Don't get me wrong. Heard bad. What? What's worse?
It's 40 years, right? 40 more years.
What's worse?
Well, do they know that they're not?
Oh yeah, they find out. What's worse? Plus, Chazal say the door Hamidbar in Ham Chelak LeOlam Haba. Oh dear.
We can't hear you.
The door Hamidbar, the generation of the Midbar, said the rabbis in the Masechta Sanhedrin, they don't have a portion in the world to come.
No, after going all through.
After all that.
After all that, they don't have a portion.
She'll say, oh, at least those 40 years will do mitzvahs, you know. They'll get them somewhere.
Yeah, right. 40 years, the chance of the children, they have the children.
No, some they don't have to do tshuva. They can't.
Won't matter.
Nothing you do will matter.
This is such a terrible, terrible thing not to trust, not to.
Must have been pretty bad.
I guess so.
Seems so.
What about the two?
So says Rabbeinu Bechaya, he says, interestingly enough, he says, when the Torah says, he says, when the Torah says, Shalachti ki dvarecha, listen, he says, hold on a second. He says, I'll tell you what, Shalachti ki dvarecha. Moshe Rabbeinu, you asked me, all you asked me was not to destroy them now. He says, Shalachti ki dvarecha, she'erich lahem, ve'efkod avonam al zaram. You asked that they not be wiped out? Fine. But understand that their children are going to suffer. Chazal see the Chet HaEriel, the Chet HaMeragdim, sin is the golden calf. When did it happen? When did it happen, the golden calf?
Right after they left.
What day? What day of the year?
Tisha
B'Av. You heard this midrash before. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you sat up all night and you cried for nothing. Chayechem, I promise you I will give you what to cry for. This opens the floodgates for Jewish suffering for the future. You thought you had what to cry about? Moshe Rabbeinu, you asked me not to punish you now? Shalachti ki dvarecha. I'll forgive you.
I won't punish you now.
I won't punish you now. So it's interesting. He says, that God didn't say this about, God didn't forgive them for the Meraglim. It was only for the Egel. Aval Avon says so Meraglim and Isolech. Even though it sounds like in the Torah that God does forgive them, oh no, that's too much. Too big. They have to pay for that.
Found another way to punish them.
They'll be punished over time. Right?
The notes about the words he left out are very interesting too.
About the words he left out. Yeah, it's the same kind of thing.
Same kind of thing. Very interesting.
You know, Moshe Rabbeinu is not a magician. He can only ask for so much, and it can only go so far. And Kadosh Baruch Hu understands that there's a limit, that there is forgiveness, that ultimately there must be forgiveness, but not beyond reason, not beyond limits. You know, the Kadosh Baruch Hu even has limits himself. Something to think about.
Very good.